Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. In preparation for my sermon this evening, I thought about the importance of eyewitness accounts of the birth of Christ. Eyewitnesses, I want to say somewhat recently, have been given somewhat of a skeptical eye, ranging from eyewitnesses to an auto accident to a crime. And it's for this reason, sometimes the eyewitness just doesn't always interpret reality correctly, and as they relate the details of what he or she observed. Take five people who observe an auto accident, and you get very different stories about who was at fault. But some historians are so skeptical of eyewitness accounts that they don't give any credence whatsoever to any eyewitness account, whether it's an auto accident, a crime, or even a religious event such as the birth of Christ. Well, it's time for me to be skeptical about the skeptics. Of course, I do not agree with the perspective that while some eyewitnesses do not perceive an event correctly or something is faulty in their short-term or long-term memory that they seek to retrieve, that does not mean that all eyewitnesses get it wrong. Luke, in the opening verses of this gospel, says this: "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, O most Theophilus, that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." Luke here speaks about the reliability of the eyewitnesses and his careful investigation and research to provide a trustworthy basis for the assurance as to the truth of the Christian faith. I am making the point that the reason these eyewitnesses accurately received and recounted the Christian gospel, including the birth of Christ, is that these eyewitnesses correctly understood what they heard and what Luke had written down because they were inspired and led by God, and what they wrote was truth. This evening, I want to focus specifically on the eyewitness accounts of the events concerning the birth of Christ, and I'll be drawing from the shepherds and Mary. First of all, the shepherds. The shepherds said in Luke 2:15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." What they had seen and heard was the message of the angels saying to them about the good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. The shepherds are also told, "There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." They are given a sign of a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then the multitude of the angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." That is the essence of the angels' message. The good news of great joy about this child in a manger in Bethlehem who is called the Savior, Christ the Lord. Each one of these titles, the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord, are very important and significant to the good news of Christ's birth. The title Savior was often used by Roman emperors, but the saving they had in mind was physical protection from the enemies of Rome. The Lord Jesus did not bring physical protection or security. He did not bring economic security. Instead, this child brought peace between God and man by providing the forgiveness of our sins and reconciliation with God. This type of salvation is hinted at in the message of the angels, in which they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." God brings peace with those he is well pleased. Since we are not inherently pleasing to the Lord because of our sin nature and our individual acts of sin, we must rely on and trust in the Lord Jesus, who is well pleasing to the Father. Later on in Christ's life, at his baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, God said this about his Son: "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." It is by trusting in Christ and being in union with him that we are well pleasing to God and have peace with God. This is how this child will save us. He will save us from sin and death and bring about our redemption by himself and his work for us on our behalf. This child is also called the Christ, the Anointed One, the King, the Messiah. Let us note that the irony that this king is born in a manger, the place where animals are kept. This is not the place where human kings were born. In our minds, kings belong in a palace, not in a lowly manger. This king will be different. As I said earlier, he will not bring physical safety or security, for this child's life is about to be endangered in some short time. In his ministry, our Lord himself said to his own disciples, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Neither riches or security would be the hallmark of this king's life, but he was and is the king of God's kingdom, and his kingdom brings in a reign of justice, righteousness, and holiness. He conquered sin and death by his life, his death, and his resurrection. And there is coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will bring full dominion and visible sovereignty at his second coming, when he comes to judge the living and the dead, and it will be a great climactic end to human history. It is the book of Revelation that ends with these words speaking of Christ's second coming and advent. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" Jesus is also called the Lord. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, had greeted Mary with this question in Luke 1:43, "And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Elizabeth rightly identifies the child growing in Mary's body as the Lord. This child is both human and divine. Truly human, truly divine. These are the foundational truths which make up the good news of great joy for all the people, announced by the angels to the shepherds. And the shepherds said to one another, "Come, let us see what the Lord has made known to us." The way that we ought to apply this "come and see" is by nurturing ourselves in the words of Holy Scripture, which identify Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. Jerome, whose life spanned from 347 to 420 AD and was a translator of the Scriptures from Greek into Latin, once said, "Ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ." The other side of Jerome's statement is, knowledge of the Scriptures is knowledge of Christ, because it is through the Scriptures that we learn of this Savior who was Christ the Lord. If you want to see and know Christ, we must come to God's Word. As the Lord himself said in John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." So the shepherd said, "Let us see." They also told one another, "Let us tell." They told Mary and Joseph in Luke 2, 16 and 17. And in Luke 2, 20, the shepherds were glorifying and praising God for all they had just seen and heard, just as had been told them. They received the message from the angels, and they tell Mary and Joseph. They praise and glorify God. I think it's fair to ask, did the shepherds tell anyone else? Did they praise and glorify God just on this night? Did they ever tell anyone else after this night what they heard and saw? There are clues from our text which tell us that the shepherds did not keep this story all to themselves. Luke 2, 17 and 18 say this, "When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." The phrase, "all who heard it," shows that the shepherds were not quiet about what had happened on this evening. They told the angel's appearance and the identity of this child, and they bore testimony, telling others of Christ's birth. Once more, we need to remember that this story emphasizes an irony that we may not be aware of due to historical distance between our time and the time of Christ's birth. According to historical sources during this time, shepherds were considered unreliable witnesses in a court of law due to the fact that they were a despised group of people, due to the transience of their work, and often for the fact that they were ceremonially unclean. Who does God pick but people ordinarily the general public of the Jews did not trust? Yet God, who at times goes against the grain of human custom, has appointed these shepherds to be heralds and messengers of Christ's birth. The church has an evangelistic responsibility to tell the message of this child's birth and his identity to all who have ears to hear, and it is good news to all the people. Last, a certainly very close eyewitness of Jesus' birth was Mary. And she teaches us that we must ponder the message of the birth of her child. Luke 2, 18 and 19 say this, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." The type of pondering that Mary did was that she valued in high esteem the things that the shepherds heard from the angels, and what she herself had heard from the angel. What Mary is doing and pondering is what God's people are commanded to do in Psalm 1, 1 and 2. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." In a world addicted to noise, we need to stop and take time to be silent, to meditate and treasure the great truths of God's word and his promises. We need to set apart time to ponder and reflect on God's grace and goodness. This will take our commitment, our discipline, but we will always make time for what is important to us. And so we need to cry out to God to order our day and our priorities and our commitments in the right way. For this, the Word of God in the Gospel, this good news of great joy, is truly food and substance for our souls. God's word of promise, which nourishes our hearts unto eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us see, let us tell, and let us ponder Jesus Christ as we remember this newborn Son, the Son of Mary, who is Savior, who is Christ, who is Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us in this season in which we remember your birth to pay attention to that which is most needful and necessary, hearing your word, treasuring it in our hearts, and speaking of your goodness and love. Shape us by your word and Holy Spirit. These things we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.